Oh yeah, possibly. Marvel's looking at The Rock to play Apocalypse for the. Yeah, they might just ruin the X-Men if they do that.
I need Kevin Feige to come in there and be like, "Hey, big fan, love your work, but I also need you to know,
I'm in charge.
I'm in charge, and I need to. He needs to handle it like the KFC episode in South Park. I need to know, John. I just have one rule: don't. Don't me, Dwayne.
No. It won't happen because Kevin Feige is not about to play with X-Men.
Alright. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Alright, let's get back on it. Alright, we're gonna go in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King, and with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Got it right this time.
Oh, look at that. On time. Still don't say anything, though.
Man, tired of the same old thing. Welcome back, everybody. Like, you're already here. You're listening. Yes, I get it. You're here. All right. Fuck.
Well, I'll say it for you. No, thank you. Welcome back, everyone.
Yes, but thank you. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate that greatly.
Yes, we are back for another night, giving you guys all the film news good stuff. So let's just hop right into this and get it started.
Yeah, we got some good shit.
We got some sad shit first, though.
Yeah, we do got some sad shit.
So for those who have not heard yet, actor Gene Hackman has passed away along with his wife and their dog. This has been a really interesting investigation going on because no one knows really what happened. The only thing they kind of know is they had been dead and deceased for a few days. They were claiming about like 9 days before they were actually discovered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is now they ruled out there was no carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yep. And it doesn't look like there was necessarily yet foul play, which was murder.
By the evidence that we're looking at, by the facts that we were given through the LAPD and, you know, they found him and then his wife's body in the separate room with pills lying around.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog dead in the crate.
Mm-hmm. Mike's more sad about that one.
What breed was it?
I don't think they said.
That matters.
That matters, the breed.
That matters. Yeah. It matters, the breed.
But it was like a Chihuahua.
Bro could have squeezed through the bars. He could have vibrated his way through.
Had
his molecules evaporate through solid objects because of the way they would be fucking shaking.
Did not know he was born in San Bernardino.
Yeah, do you know that?
Born in the Dino?
Yeah.
Damn.
Local boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, he's got tats for sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really, really sad and unfortunate. And, you know, as the weeks come by, we're going to actually figure out what really happened. It's still like a huge mystery. Like one person found dead, but when you have two people and then the dog now, it's like, it's really, really weird now.
Yeah. This is very odd.
And he passed away at 95.
God, so
damn. Yeah, 95.
Yeah.
Wife was 62, 63.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
So damn.
Academy Award winner.
Multiple Academy Award winner.
Oh yeah, yeah. Multiple. Like how many did he win? I know he won for his...
The French Connection, Hoosier,
right. And Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Yep.
And The Firm.
And The Firm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Shit, three.
Yeah.
Okay. See, if he was still acting today, he wouldn't be qualified because they don't want him to win multiple times.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in later.
We'll get into that. That's another topic we're going into. But yes, this is very sad and unfortunate. So hopefully they'll figure out exactly what happened so we can give you the full news and updates.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next what we have here in our film news. Mattel and Warner Brothers Discovery is working together to produce new toy lines for the DCU.
So I'm assuming that this is a big deal.
This is a big deal. So what they're doing now is they're going to follow the Marvel system. What Marvel and Disney, what they like to do is they'll contract toy companies to start working ahead of time on toy developments.
Okay.
You know what? When you get those plot leaks because of toys.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what usually happens. Now DC is finally getting into the whole merchandising business with the DC Universe, which we knew that they were working with Mattel already because there's already Mattel toys of DC.
Yeah, there's previous toys for the wrong movies, unfortunately.
Yeah, for the wrong movies, but that does make sense. I think the last toy lines was when they were originally just Warner Brothers Discovery, when they were just Warner Brothers. Yeah. Now that they're Warner Brothers Discovery, I think this enacted a new agreement between the two companies.
Okay.
And now they're moving forward of just not only just allowing them to produce toys, but I think they're going to keep them inside the scoop on future developments so they can already start working on merchandising for them.
Yes, but not only just like action figures like was before, which we went on Amazon, we found like the Suicide Squad toys and the Justice League toys as
well,
which were like considered inappropriate toys. They were kid toys. But it was the same Harley Quinn that was grinding up on Suicide Squad.
You know, in that dress and everything. Yeah.
That same one. They had Batman and his the trench coat?
The nightmare scenes.
Oh.
Were in the futuristic. Like, they're focusing on creating toys for kids, knowing these movies weren't for kids.
Gotcha.
Okay. Kind of like in the 80s when you had, RoboCop toys.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, if anything, these toys are more for, avid collectors
I think they were thinking they're going to be for avid collectors, but no one really collects Mattel toys like that. No. They don't have the value like McFarlane toys do. Yeah, like this. This actually has value. McFarlane toys always usually have value with them, especially the older they are.
Let me see that one again. I didn't get that one.
Yeah, he wants that thing. Look at that thing.
Put it up in front of your camera, Anthony.
Yeah, look at that.
Bring it down a little bit.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's the thing.
Yep.
Right there.
Look at that.
Look at that.
So, you know, usually stuff like this will be valuable, but not usually when it comes to Mattel toys.
Yeah, but it looks like they're also doing not only like action figures, but apparently they can do board games. Well, they said adult collectibles as well.
Yeah, adult collectibles play role. So, yeah, the board games, they're trying to look for accessories, shoes, sneakers, backpacks. Yeah, it's going to be full on merchandising.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is a generous deal that's going through.
Yeah. But the thing is, they need to have content that is child friendly so they can sell merch like that. Remember, DC has always been on the record in the last decade or two of trying to do that dark universe, the brooding characters, the very serious, mature stuff. Now that they're working with James Gunn, his seems a lot more lighter, a lot more family friendly. Now they can really work on merchandising like how Marvel does. Marvel doesn't make those movies to make money. They make those movies so they can sell merchandise to get quadruple the profits.
Gotcha. So do you think that with the revamp and the announcement of, remember, I kind of whispered it off screen beforehand, before we started, how Warner Brothers said that they were going to focus on film and television entertainment production rather than trying to ascertain assets of ESPN, CNN, and try and be at HBO at the same time.
They're downscaling and working on creating product again, creating content instead of just we're a business who just acquires other businesses so they make the products for us.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They stopped that because they don't have the money to keep purchasing and acquiring more businesses. They have that huge debt.
Yeah.
They need to focus on their content.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But also, nothing else that's going to bring up is they're not just also focused on the films that are coming out, pretty soon from James Gunn, but the shows they already currently have, which is My Adventures with Superman, Batwheels, Teen Titans Go, DC Superhero Girls, Batman the Brave and the Bold,
Justice League Pets, stuff like that. They're already going to work with what they have now. Because remember, the acquisition happened when did the acquisition happen? 2016, 2017?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, since that acquisition happening, but with the now new label of Warner Bros. Discovery, they have all that content they can work with to now start producing toys and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So we're going to be looking to see a lot more, much a lot more toy material.
You're going to see a lot more DC merch.
Okay.
Because you don't get that much nowadays compared to Marvel. Marvel merch is everywhere. Yeah.
They're partnered up with pretty much everyone. Everything from board games to obviously the Funko, but you have Legos, you've got trading cards.
It's perpetual. It just keeps going. Like when DC, when they had their merchandise, it was only when the movies were released. Have you always noticed that? Here's all the movie, the merchandise for Batman v Superman, and then the movie passes. No merch.
Yeah.
All the merch for Justice League, movies done. No merch. You see always they had that cycle of just only focusing merchandise when the movie comes out.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we had Spider-Man merch for the last
20 years, just perpetually nonstop.
True.
So
that's true.
So this is actually going to be a big business move for Warner Brothers Discovery. Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to see how they're going to move forward with creating all this licensing agreement with merchandise and everything like that.
Okay.
All right, going to our last bit of film news before we hit our break. This is actually a pretty interesting one.
Piss me off,
dude. What is up with these Oscar voters who are just refusing to watch movies? Their job is to judge.
That's to watch
the movies that have been nominated. That is your job. And you're now saying like, oh, I don't like that. It's not worth my time. So I'm just not going to vote for it.
Dude, it's frustrating. Dude, it's extremely frustrating because we're told that the Oscars are the top tier, the best of the best.
That's your creme de la creme. Like whoever wins it is like, oh man, you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed future projects. You're guaranteed like...
No, not even future projects, but as a viewer, you're guaranteed a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're told, you're advertised, this is an Oscar-winning film. You're going to go see this movie.
And we had, what, 4 anonymous voters claiming that they just didn't even want to watch Dune Part 2.
7.
7?
We have 7. Yep.
And what were the reasons for this? So, did he give any reasons why they just didn't want to watch it?
So 4 out of the 7, they ranged from director, writer, a publicist, and a casting director, with one of them saying the director said he struggled watching part 1 and wasn't rushing to see part 2. Like, it was just long, in the sense of saying he's not looking to sit down for another 3 hours.
It's your damn job.
Yes.
It's your job as a judge. If you're judging the movies that were selected for nominations, you need to watch them.
Right. The writer said just hadn't gotten around to it. Yeah. Dude. It's literally on fucking Max and Netflix. What do you mean you haven't gotten around to it? Like, you don't need to go to the theater sometimes to be able to. And some, I feel like that's the other thing as well. They want to go to the theater and they're like, oh, I just can't make time for it. Then put on some fucking headphones and watch it on your phone or laptop or something.
Your job is to judge the films nominated.
Like, shit.
Just because they don't want to hire you, fucking be able to hold a grudge.
Yeah. And the publicist said hadn't gotten around to it because they said other films took priority. I don't know what the fuck that one is. And as well as saying that they, had them feel that the movie, the first one, had them feeling bored because they watched. Okay, this is the part that fucking pisses me off. They watched the one with Sting. They watched
the original.
They watched the David Lynch one.
Yeah, the one in the 80s. Yeah.
They watched that one. We all know that one sucks ass.
Yeah.
Right? They saw that and then they saw part 1 and they said part 1 was way too boring compared to the David Lynch one.
I'm sorry. Your job is to watch these movies. Even if you know you're not going to like it pre-watching it, your ass still has to be in that seat watching it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's just... And that's... Oh, and then the last one.
You know how many movies we go to knowing we're going to hate it?
Yeah.
To give a review?
Yeah.
Knowing we're not going to like it, but we still go. We still pay the money to go.
The last one, the casting director says they hadn't seen either of them.
Dude, it's on your watch list. Like, they give you a fucking list.
They give you a list. They tell you, watch these.
And for some reason, I guess it's just boring.
I can get that from their point of view. That the Dune is not for everyone's cup of tea. It can drag out. I mean, we like those type of movies, but I can understand people who don't like that. But the thing is, their asses still need to be in those seats watching those fucking movies. It is their job.
Yes. No, their job is to be impartial when voting. They're supposed to just vote in the facts.
Mm-hmm. They're supposed to, but no matter what, I don't think it's ever been impartial.
I know, the idea is like...
The idea, yes.
Yeah. You're supposed to be impartial. You're supposed to go in there just with the facts. How does the film look? Does the story make sense? You know, is acting good? You know, you just take these points.
Mm-hmm.
If it matches the criteria, there you go.
Yeah.
But not just because I didn't feel like it.
An article that was on IMDb even said that despite being a major blockbuster and a strong contender in several categories, Dune Part 2 being skipped by multiple voters raises questions about how widely it was viewed within the Academy. With one voter even saying, how has Denis not won 4 Oscars already? I don't understand how the studio and quite frankly us Oscar voters fucked up this badly.
Yeah, he's a great director too, and it's all his films are always overlooked.
And the sucky part is, so I went back on his movies that were nominated, or at least parts that were nominated for some sort of category. So you have Prisoners,
mm-hmm.
Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, Dune Part 1, and then Dune Part 2.
All excellent fucking movies, too.
Only 2 of those movies have been nominated for Best Picture. and they both lost. 2017 Arrival was on there.
Yeah.
Nominated for, it was actually nominated for 8 Academy Awards.
Arrival's a really great movie.
And it lost to Moonlight 2017. And then the second one was Dune Part 1, nominated for 6, including Best Picture, lost to Coda in 2022.
Yep.
And the majority of all of his movies are all technical.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all Academy nominations for technical work. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, that Best Picture is just looming out of reach for some reason.
Yep.
But the fact that you have the past ones, I'm like, there is what it is.
But it's like the fact, like, you know? Now they don't even want to watch the movies.
No, they don't.
That's what's irritating. And then it's also the other issue they had with Ralph Fiennes, however you say his last name. The actor who played Voldemort.
Voldemort? Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah. Basically, they didn't want to vote for him because they thought he got the award for Schindler's List. Like, can you not get awards twice anymore? Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, we just did. We just walked.
And he didn't even win.
We just talked about Gene Hackman having 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
He didn't even fucking win. And you're like, oh, sorry, my bad. I thought he won Schindler's List, so we didn't vote for him. Like, what kind of excuse is that?
That's some bullshit thinking.
That's some serious bullshit thinking.
That makes me wonder, like, that's the real reason that we have, like, Emilia Perez. Is that the name of the movie?
Yes.
As even that many fucking nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit like this.
Like, I don't get that line of thinking where it's like, no, you're not supposed to see, oh, you're not trying to be fair in that regard. Like, oh, you already had a reward, so we're going to skip. No, you see who was the best, who acted the best, who played the best.
Yeah. Like, why the hell would you just pass that up on someone and be like, damn, he was really good in that, hit all the marks properly, really sold me on his presence, but I think he's already won before, but, so okay, let's fucking...
Even then, a quick Google search on your phone will tell you he did not win that award.
And it says that same person who didn't vote for Ralph Fiennes because he thought they won for Schindler's List, they voted for The Brutalist, Adrian Brody, who won the award for The Pianist.
What the fuck? What the living fuck?
Yeah, so the same reason you say you didn't vote for him, you voted for another person.
This is the reason, this and beyond other reasons are the reason why people are losing faith in this award.
One really, like, we want to, we always struggle before we start, whether when we bring up anything Oscars or like Golden Globes or related or any type of like award show related, because we know the viewership is down.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard for people to actually be interested, and it's a reason why, because they do shit like this.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, like I said, we even covered, a while back, we covered about the Academy would not recognize any Marvel films or any major blockbuster films because they didn't want to.
There's no reason. They just didn't want to.
Yeah. That's why it's so hard for any Marvel or superhero movie to ever make it in those categories of, like, Best Picture.
Yeah. Mm. And they're billion-dollar films just straight up ignored for... Emilia Perez.
But that has been the thing for the last couple, like, decades now. Like, the movies that you hear are winning, you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Like,
that's exactly it.
The last decade, I mean, obviously the last decade is ones that we personally know or seen.
We've seen because we're film people. Our job is to talk film news, watch film.
When I talk to family members, friends, other people, co-workers, dude, they don't even have even heard none of these films.
Yeah.
The King's Speech, The Artist, Argo, 12 Years a Slave, Birdman, Spotlight, Moonlight, The Shape of Water, The Green Book, Parasite. I guarantee if I showed to my coworkers this list,
they'll pay like two or three of them. That's it.
And it sucks because we know every single one of those.
Yes.
But that's because we like films.
We like films.
But they'll never see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
But the point is, like, you're having people vote on these films that mostly people don't really watch or won't ever watch, and then you get upset about, like, oh, why we're losing viewerships on the Oscars.
Like, because of this.
It's because of this. You're not actually doing this for the people who are actually watching at home. You're doing it for yourselves.
Yeah.
And we're not asking you to turn to the MTV Music Video Awards.
Yeah, no.
Then we're not asking for the Teen Choice. We're not asking for that. We're just asking you to just catch up to what it is now
that people are watching and liking.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know if there's like, is there a specific rule that says they have to go to a theater to watch it, or is it just watch the movie?
We know it. No, it's just watch the movie. They don't have to go to the theater. There's no rule for that.
There's no excuse why But as most of these movies are on fucking streaming services.
Not even that, but the fact that was the medium age for it?
Oh, the medium age was 62.
62 and how many members?
At least 80% are above the age of 50.
And how many members did they say they have?
They have over 10,000. The Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts has around 10,000 members with about 9,000 eligible to vote for the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so 80% of them are over the age of 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, what? So what? How do you get this job?
It's not a full, like, it's not a full range demographic of like judges. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
You don't have a full range from people from like 18 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
You have 80% of them above the age of 50 and a very few sprinkled around across. So, of course, they're going to have the majority voting power.
You would think that with these old heads, with these old head thinkings, they would want to watch movies like Dune.
No.
And vote for like...
Because it reminds them of blockbusters. And those are the type of people who are like, blockbusters aren't movies at all.
Fucking Oppenheimer was a blockbuster.
Yeah, but... like. They see as...
They see a historical drama.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't see film with that yet.
Yeah, and also these are people who self-identify as film purist.
Yeah.
They only see like, oh no, films have to be done this way and this way only.
In the purest form, so...
That's so stupid.
And yeah. Nolan gets away with it because he does use film. And other filmmakers are like, no, you have to film it this exact way. You have to film it on location, no visual effects. I'm pretty sure that's all their mindsets.
Yeah, it's a lot of old fashioned. Yeah,
that's so dumb.
As well as I would like to know if any of these people have connections to the studios themselves. That, not to be sound conspiracy theorist, but like, if any of these actually have, you know,
oh, to push favor towards voting.
Yes. No. Right? I mean, that's a plausible conspiracy theory to think of, because everyone at the end of the day always usually get bought out.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder whether votes are just being bought out by these judges. No, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned and we'll be right back to you guys.
Here are the smaller news topics that couldn't make it in today's episode. Peter Dinklage has been eyed as the possible next Bond villain. John Lithgow has been selected to play Dumbledore in the HBO Harry Potter series. And rumors swirl again in the World War Hulk movie possibly returning. And that's it for the smaller news. Now back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. What a shitstorm going on with Shrek 5 trailer, man.
Yeah.
Everyone is so divided on the new character designs. Now, we've had our discussions before this. Like,
yes.
I will openly admit, I am actually visually blind by how bad it is. It looks slightly different, but from what I'm hearing from people's reception and comments, people are blowing up to the whole next Sonic level.
Yeah, they're comparing it directly to
Sonic. They're comparing it to Sonic. And I think that's why I was confused, because I heard the comparison of Sonic first, and then I saw this, I'm like, it just looks slightly different. Like, we talked about it, and I saw your point of view, Mike.
Yeah.
It does look like Illumination animation. It looks like Illumination character designs.
Yes.
I don't know why, to me, that's bad. Like, I can see you not liking it. Mm-hmm. Tell me why it's bad animation.
I think it's because it takes what we know about Shrek animation.
Yeah.
And transitioning it to Illumination animation is exaggerated, a little bit more
characters,
features
yeah.
and characters and motions and expressions.
Yeah.
Whereas like in Shrek, yeah, you had expressions.
They tried to keep it more realistic.
But they tried to keep it more realistic.
They weren't all exaggerated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead in Illumination, you know, as it is, you have the type of style that it has.
Mm-hmm.
So the expressions are going to be even more exaggerated.
Yeah.
And because of that, certain features of their faces and parts are a little bit more, I'm going to say again, exaggerated.
Yeah.
Because if you look at, if you scroll, can you scroll down a little bit? Like if you kind of see it a little bit. Yeah. So for example, if you take a look at like Shrek's features that we have here, the eyes are a little bit closer together.
Yeah.
On that one. But those aren't the things that I'm kind of looking at. Mm. What I'm looking at is the expressiveness of like how round his eyes are compared to the regular eyes of Shrek. Mm-hmm. His eyes separation isn't so bad, but it's the fact that because they're more
closer together
and more rounded out. Mm-hmm. As to like try and make an eyeball like how donkey's eyes are.
Yeah.
Look how donkey's eyes are, right? See how rounded out they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at an original picture of donkey, you can kind of see like, yeah, any sort of like expressive emotion of eyes widening over something. Like, yeah, it's cartoonish, but at the same time, it keeps a certain grounded level. Whereas if you look at the new illumination style of Shrek, mm-hmm. you see features that are a little bit more drastic. Like, for one thing, the shape of his neck is much thinner. It's a straw.
Yeah.
If you look at it.
Compared to the other one where it's like, basically his neck was thicker than his actual head.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's essentially like what makes kind of like his body structure a little bit more understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, it's like, okay, he's obviously a cartoon, so let's make him cartoony. Let's thin out the neck. Let's make the eyes more round. Let's pull back on the teeth a little bit more. Sharpen up the jawline so that way when he makes expressive emotions, mm-hmm. they're going to be accented 20-fold.
Like, right? I can see the difference. This one, it did look like they did more humanization of the face compared to the original one, where it did more look like fantasy ogre. So you had the more wide separated eyes. You had the his face looks smushed, like a flat, plain face in the original one. Mm-hmm. Where this one actually looks like it has more dimension to his face.
Yeah. And I think that kind of weirds out a lot of people. That kind of weirds me out.
Yeah.
As well. Like, that one's Shrek 1. Shrek 1 is going to be terrible quality. Like, you got to do, like, Shrek 3 or 4.
You can't say that because no one's comparing it to 3 or 4. Everyone's comparing it to the first one. Yeah, so, we can't use the excuse. We have to go by the excuse everyone has been pointing out to. Everyone's making comparisons to the first Shrek movie.
I feel like that's a terrible comparison, though. Because then it's like, that
but
idea people, no, of thinking,
but,
though, is
but
like
people are trying, saying that's, like, peak animation now. Everyone, you know how we're like,
that's like saying
it's the same thing with the
first Incredibles was peak animation.
No, it's the same thing everyone's doing with the prequel Star Wars. Everyone hated that and now everyone supposedly loves it now. Now we're going into, okay, this animation was okay back then, but it was pretty solid. It was just more about the story. Great mm-hmm. story. Now everyone's acting like that was fucking peak animation.
No, that was definitely not peak.
You see animation. Like the it's nostalgia
straight,
factor?
It's straight nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, it's just the we had a conversation about, you know, what we thought it looked like for what it actually is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, compared to like us playing old video games, we remembered as the PS2 era of like Need for Speed, where we thought it was like glowing lights, mm-hmm. Smooth looking cars. And no, it's all polygons, square shaped cars.
And I think people are just naturally saying the wrong verbiage because everyone's saying the animation is bad, but there's nothing wrong with the animation. It's the animation design is fine. It's the character design that everyone has the issue with.
Yes.
And like I said, it does not look like a Sonic situation where it's night and fucking day.
I think I do kind of understand a little bit of what they mean by the animation mm-hmm. is like with illumination animation,
how they react to characters' facial
how they react, yeah. And like it's very sharp, it's very quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's cartoony.
Yeah.
You know, it's react to how a cartoon looks. Mm. You know, you what see that called? With like.
I think it's called like the rubber band effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Where,
that stretch and pull.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So, you don't really kind of, you still have some of the elements that are in Shrek, like the movies.
Yeah.
But they're kind of a little bit more of a grounded level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
whereas like, this one is like the rubber band effect of that stretch and pull, that squash
mm-hmm.
and jump and whatever the other fucking terminologies you have. And I think that's what's really weirding people out. Mm.
And I think the issue is also people are not realizing this is an entirely new team.
Yes. This isn't DreamWorks.
I mean, it's DreamWorks, but at the same time, it's not. Like now that you have the head of Illumination operating for both Illumination and DreamWorks,
it's pretty much an extension of Illumination.
They're blending their styles together. Well, he's basically using Illumination style and forcing it into DreamWorks style. But it's not like the same team. It's not the same animators. I don't even know if they have the same assets.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this before. If this is built on an entirely new engine, mm-hmm. they might not even have the assets that are compatible with the new engine. So this might been from ground up. Now, that's just me theorizing. They could have had the assets and still decided to build it ground up because that is a common thing. People nowadays, you know, we got something new. Let's just start from scratch all over again.
Do you think as well that because it's a new head, like kind of running both of these departments, mm-hmm. probably doesn't make sense. But my idea is that is there like a certain trademark on that type of animation and to avoid any sort of penalties, they change certain features of them physically.
I won't say penalties. No. I can say, like, I agree if they would just want to have a staple animation look. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. companies do that all the time. They can versify how things look, but they're like, hey, man, this is that Marvel look. This is that, you know, Disney animation look. You know, this is now the Illumination look. So I think they are, yes, trying to find a stylized look to stick to. Mm-hmm. One, because it makes work a lot easier if you're not trying to recreate and redesign and re-trying to figure out how things look. You have the same style over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then two, it does work a lot better for your systems, for your productivity, and for the animation engine itself.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, because I can see like Illumination style is that soft glow.
Yeah.
Kind of like that soft filter put over the lens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
because they did that on all the meaning films and
It's
like a feathered glow almost like mm-hmm. yeah like a yeah
the
like,
Super Mario movie had that too
yeah
mm-hmm. It's like that like over like fluorescent glow that kind of like there's not much contrast in these movies
yeah it's kind of soft lighting kind of mm-hmm. almost evenly lit kind of style.
Now the thing is, how would you want, like, if you have problems with the animation character designs, what would have been the appropriate choice? Do you just keep everything the same and not upgrade?
I mean, as far as like Shrek, we've kind of upgraded in terms of like quality. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at the first one, look at the grass animation.
Yeah.
And tree animation. Uh-huh. Like very few of the trees actually move and the rest are just still pixelated.
Yeah.
Like they were terrible, but they were good at the time. Mm-hmm. And then as the Shrek movies kind of progressed, obviously that level of quality and engines increased.
See, I need to rewatch the originals ones because I don't remember advancement in technology from 1 to 3. They all look very simple.
Yeah, if you watch it again, you'll be able to see the difference. Because mm-hmm. the first one is very, like, keep in mind, this was, like, the punishment project.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of, like, amazing quality was pushed in. Like, keep in mind, it's still great for what it was.
Like I said, people enjoy Shrek not for the animation. It's because it's a great story.
Yes.
Yeah. All I remember from the upgrade was, like, from the first to second were a massive difference. But from second and beyond, to me, they're all the same.
I can see that. I understand that.
Yeah, okay.
As far as like their design and character wise, like I totally get that.
Yeah.
There isn't really much of a drastic change of like contrasted lighting or super updated mm-hmm. like fabric. I don't know. Maybe there is a little bit of that. Oh no. It's not the same. But yeah, like not enough to be like, holy shit, I could see the fucking stitches on his shirt. Kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
And I've been seeing arguments from both sides where people are just like, well, don't change anything if it's not broken. Why try to fix it? Mm-hmm. If it's just worked, just keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then the other people have been saying, if you're not going to do anything different, why make it in the first place?
Yeah.
No, and I kind of get that.
So I get both sides. I do get both sides. But then again, there is issues on both of those sides in that thought process.
I get that. Because wasn't this originally a reboot project? Because now, if it's Shrek 5, then it's just a weird, I don't know, continuation, like a weird sequel, but just in a different format.
Supposedly, this was like a whole, like, set off another set of franchise of the...
It's supposed to be like a franchise restarter again.
So it's a soft reboot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Not a reboot.
Not a reboot.
Like a restart, like you mentioned.
Okay. Like continuing the story, but now if this works, we're going to have Shrek 6, Shrek 7, Shrek 8, Puss in Boots 10, like...
Yeah, I can see that. Like, but yeah, I mean, as far as like quality wise, mm-hmm. in animation, it's fluid.
Yeah.
But as overall character design, I just don't like Shrek going into like the rubber band stretch pull squash type of animation. Mm-hmm. It's like
it does look like the Croods.
Yes, Yeah. I hated the Croods. Fucking Croods. Croods suck.
The only, like I said, my only issue with that, just Donkey. That's the only thing. Donkey's about the only one because
has very over-exaggerated
expressions. Yeah, it's very over-exaggerated.
Other than Trek, Fiona, his daughter, I really don't.
I don't know why they gave Fiona bird lips. That's kind of my other thing as well.
The Fiona one does look a little off.
Fiona looks like she got like...
She has like no teeth. Like Granny Gum Job.
Yeah. They exaggerated that by downsizing the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then for certain of the male characters or like certain characters, they over-exaggerate the size of teeth.
Yeah.
It's like how you do for like other cartoon movies where it's like you over-exaggerate the buttons on a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can see every single number kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like that. So there are certain small elements of like eyes, lips, teeth. That just look weird.
Got it. Now, do you think this is going to get the Sonic treatment, though? Do you think this is going to force DreamWorks Studio to have to redesign the character?
I mean,
maybe.
And should that be done? Should that be a constant thing? Because people bitch about that, but they don't know the actual consequences when you do stuff like that, and no one cares. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one cares the jobs, how much money that gets lost, who gets hurt by that, and they'll always blame the animators, knowing the animators never had the decision in the first place for the character designs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they allow the main distributor studios to get away with it and allow people to blame the animation studio.
These are the notes they worked off of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with Sonic. Like, no one blamed the company who was in charge of that animation company who told them to do that. Everyone blamed the animators, and then that company blamed the animators when it was their decision.
Yeah, remember when they tried to give Sonic Nikes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
They gave him teeth.
Ugh.
And it was weird. It was absolutely weird.
Fucking hands. Ugh.
But at the same time,
I'm all thinking about it now.
Yeah, I want people's anger to be directed at the right people.
Yes.
Yeah. And people never do that. They'll always blame the animators, knowing that they don't have a say in the matter.
They just draw what they're told to draw.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Give them like 20 sketches. They choose from one, and that's the one they choose. Mm-hmm. Or they give them the stupid input, like, well, give them this, give them that. You know, give more hair.
So if you're truly upset about the Shrek 5 film, don't blame DreamWorks Animation. Blame Universal. You see the issue? Yeah. Point the finger where it needs to be pointed at.
Look at who the executive producers are, and that's who you choose.
Exactly.
That's how you find
out. You can even blame Illumination because it's the same CEO for both companies. So that even makes more sense. But don't blame the animators.
Yeah, fuck that guy. What's his fucking name? Put his name on the board.
You want to put his name on the board?
Fuck it. Let's make a witch hunt. That's stupid.
Chris Meledandri.
What's his... Let me see what he looks like.
You want to see that face? It's his fault.
God, that's your fault. It's your fault, Chris.
Blame him.
God damn it. Look at you. Probably looked at him and was like, give him the minion tribute. Secret Life of Pets? Fuck yeah.
All right. No, but it's... I really do wonder if this actually gets the bad controversy. It's going to hold up the movie, make it extend longer, and actually force them to reanimate and work those 12 to 16 hour shifts.
If Sonic was bullied into what we have now... Could be a possibility.
And then do you think this will be a frequent thing where... fans are going to try to bully animators, and then do you think it'll get to the point where animators are like, yeah, no, I'm done?
Probably.
Right. It's fans think they're always going to get their side when they win once.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then they push shit to the next level, and they keep pushing and they pushing and pushing, pushing.
I mean, it is possible they did this on, they released this almost what, a year in advance,
mm-hmm.
this trailer for
just
this,
to see,
just to see the response,
to test the waters. That's very true.
They could have done that. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it would be another thing that they decided to release it, you know, 3 months before, 3 or 4 months before mm-hmm. release date.
Yeah.
They release a teaser or something like that. But honestly, this might be a test. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just hoping for like the best.
No, I can see. Like, when did they say the movie's going to get released?
July 1st, 2026.
Oh, December.
Oh, I see December 23rd, 2026.
I see in theaters right there that says July 1st on the poster where it says Shrek 5.
Oh, that might have been...
I think they pushed it back.
Yeah, they might have pushed it for a Christmas release.
That makes sense if you're trying to go for a Christmas release. Because remember, 2026, I think there's some big movies coming out around that time next year.
Yes.
Hey, Avengers. Avengers coming out around that time. Avengers. You're not going to compete against that.
Avengers and Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You can't compete against those two.
Isn't one of the Narnia movies supposed to be out as well?
I think so. I think it is around that time, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I mean, slightly off topic, but I know that they're shifting around release dates of the Avengers and the Odyssey so they don't clash with one another.
Yeah. So definitely this movie does not even want to clash with those two.
Nah, otherwise its numbers are going to get wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you guys got anything else to say before we fully clock out? Any more last gripes you got, Mike, about the animation style, the character choices?
I hate it.
You just hate it all?
I don't like it.
Well, you hate it.
I will say what I always say. People don't know what they want.
I know what I want.
They think they know what they want, but that's not what they want.
I think I know what I want.
You think you know what you want?
I always put down back to Star Wars. You bitched about you wanted something brand new. They gave you something brand new. Fuck it. We'll give you the same. You got the same. You still bitched.
That's very true. My faith in actual audiences has fallen because of Star Wars.
I don't know.
I remember the hatred of the prequels.
Yeah, that's true.
And now everyone's like, no, it's the greatest. It's better than the originals.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, no, we're done. We're done. I can't trust you anymore.
Dude, I remember the shit talking for the third film.
Yeah.
Just nonstop. Now, every day I hear about it on my
how Instagram. Great it was.
Yeah. Keep in mind as well is that the ones that are speaking the loudest on it are the ones that grew up on it.
Yeah.
That's very true.
So, nostalgia. That's all it is.
And it is until just recently where I was like, where I told myself that, okay, these Star Wars projects are not for me.
Yeah.
They're not made for me. So yeah. I can't bitch and moan and complain.
It was about made for you. Skeleton
Crew, yeah. Even though it does suck. Like, it's weird ass parkour.
Dude, like I said, there are families.
But it's not for me.
Yeah.
Dude, there are families. Like I said, we said there are families out there where the original trilogy is a house of a real trilogy. There is no prequels. There is no aftermath. There is none of that. Now there's also kids now being brought up and this is a house of prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing beyond that.
Think about it. There was parents refusing to let their children see the sequel Star Wars because they were holding on their nostalgia.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And that's the point where we're even starting to get like, good thing that people still allow their children to see Sonic, even though it's annoying having to deal with kids. Talking, you dealt with that with like nephews bringing up and quoting Sonic, but at least like it never went to that degree where like you're not allowed to watch this because it's not my Sonic. Like
that's true.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I really wasn't really a huge Sonic fan.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh my God, fucking Green Hills route, whatever. You know, I'm not going to be like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is.
So. Would you do that with Lord of the Rings?
Like what I gatekeep certain.
Yeah. For your child.
No, like they're like still going to watch it.
New Lord of the Rings movies come out and you just don't like them. It's completely something new. And you're like, you're not allowed to watch these. Here are the originals.
I mean, I didn't like Rings of Power. I'm sorry. I tried.
What if they decided to release?
Right. Okay, no, hold on. He's actually admitting Rings of Power sucks.
Oh, there we go.
I tried.
Damn. No, we have this time stamped.
I tell you.
March 1st, 2025. Mike actually admits Ring of Power sucks.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I tried.
It sucked.
I tried so hard. First season, I was like, okay, I'm hopeful. Maybe. And it was always like, maybe just a little more. And it was like, okay, it was cool kind of seeing like the creation of Mordor.
It's dry.
Yes, it's dry.
It's so dry.
And
shitty dialogue too.
It is shitty dialogue in this one. Lord of the Rings was fucking beautiful dialogue.
No. Okay. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Lord of the Rings. I just appreciate
He appreciates the entire cinematography, it's made, the art and everything about it. He just can't get into the story.
Yeah.
Like cool, like they introduced Tom Bombadil, which they didn't do like in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
You know, it was really prevalent in the books. Like, awesome, cool. But it's at the same time, I'm like, this is a long wait.
Okay, here. Okay. No, what I was gonna bring up was the idea of like, you know, this is a house of Lord of the Rings. What about in the future when you have kids, they release some kind of like a new Lord of the Rings, like with a young cast. It's more of a teen show or a teen movie.
Teen of the Rings.
Yes. and your kid says, Dad, I want to go see that movie. My favorite Instagrammer's on there.
That's pushing it.
Are you going to whip him with the belt?
We can. You know what? Let's rent it on Amazon so we can watch it at home. You can watch it in one room and I can do something else.
That's a compromise, though. That's you're a compromise. You're allowing your child to see it. There are some parents not allowing their children to probably even see Shrek 5.
Like, I'm going to gripe about it and be like, dude, I don't know if I could do it. But I also got to give it to my dad, too, because he did go with me to the theaters to go see Chicken Little. And I was told by a friend, dude, it's a great movie. It's so funny. Go watch it. And I was like, this movie kind of sucks. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Dad. Like, I dragged you to this.
Don't worry. I forced my mom to sit through all three Matrix movies.
Damn.
In theaters.
Damn.
She hated those movies.
Damn, we like those movies. We like them. Every time the fights come on in Revolutions.
Yeah.
Or was it? It was Revolutions, right? The second one.
Yeah.
Oh, have you fights all the Smiths?
When's the last time you watched Matrix?
Oh no, it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
The whole brain battery thing just still kind of pisses me off. I'm like, it doesn't produce enough kinetic energy.
Yeah,
like, wouldn't it make sense to put them like in a physical like type of scenario where it forces them in a motion because motion creates more energy?
Potatoes make more sense.
I read the comics
of
how we got to that point. I'm like, oh man, of course it was an AI uprising because we are fucking terrible to robots.
Yeah, yeah. No, like I get the concept of it. We use robots for power and battery and slave labor, so we're just gonna use humans for batteries.
Yes.
Practically that doesn't make sense.
No. So, and somewhere in their ones and zeros, prejudice soon.
A two showed up. A two showed up. And then
two showed up in the algorithm.
And now it's just hate.
They went from binary to trinary.
And became hate and prejudice. You see what I'm saying? Something fucked up in there.
That's the point. There was a two. Jesus.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about the Shrek 5 teaser trailer? Do you hate it? Do you love it? You can keep watching this if you're watching on our Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Friday for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike Castle's last end notes for you guys.
Yes, all the different ways you can be able to listen to us, including watching the videos live as they were recorded on youtube.com/theredbandpodcast. Look for the streaming microphone and be sure to leave a comment down below of what you think we should cover next. Possibly leave a like, maybe subscribe and share to a friend who you think might enjoy these. You can also listen to us on the go on iHeartRadio, Samsung Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Be sure to share it with a friend you think might enjoy it as well, whether you're working out or walking to work or even just driving to work. Anybody who's in the industry that you know might enjoy these. I think they might like it, so give it a listen to. And of course, our Patreon account we always have up. Consider subscribing to Patreon so that we can continue making content for you guys, because more subscribers equals more content. We'd really appreciate it because we like doing these and we want to make it permanent, so please head on over there and subscribe. That's all I got.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.